Hello, my name is Rebecca, and I have children in the district, and I'm concerned for the students in both districts, and I think that this plan is only a very short-term plan, and it actually doesn't help the district as a whole in Normandy. So I kind of came up with an idea that I think would be at least a good start and move in the right direction, so I'm going to read that to you. I have an idea that I think would help the students in the unaccredited schools, but I need help getting my idea out to everyone that this involves. So if anyone has the power to make this happen, that would be great. I propose the idea. I think it's a strong, solid idea, and it's to send newly hired staff from the unaccredited school that was chosen, or any unaccredited school for that matter, and send accredited people from the unaccredited school into that district, and they could teach and reorganize the district from the ground up. Everyone currently in the district, including the district offices, and we're talking the teachers' aides, the teachers, the principals, the board of education, the superintendents, everybody needs to be rehired or fired. I like to think of it as a satellite campus. Anyone that is hired by the Francis Howell HR department would be a Francis Howell employee, and since all employees will be from the accredited school, they can work in the buildings of Normandy, and all the students of Normandy would be taught by the people from the accredited school. And in my mind, the people in Normandy who have been making terrible decisions for the students all along should have lost all ability to make decisions for the students a long time ago.
Thank you. Thank you for your idea. I'm going to ask our attorney to speak briefly about a bill that's on the governor's desk right now that may speak to some of the comments that you have made and some of the constrictions with some of the suggestions that you've had.
So currently, it's not legal for one school district to go into another school district and open a school. There is, however, a bill sitting on the governor's desk that would permit that. He has not signed it as of yet, unless somebody has information I don't have, but no, they're shaking their head no. So if the governor does sign that bill, that would be something that a school district could do. I would point out that unless this statute is changed, it would be another choice, but it wouldn't take away the option for unaccredited kids to come here. It would take a fix of both statutes.
What's that bill, man?
Thank you. Next.
Senate Bill 125.
Good evening. My name is Carol Tipton. I'm an assistant adjunct professor in the School of Education at Webster University. My job is to supervise student teachers, and I have student teachers who are doing their practice teaching in English, usually 13 of them, 14 of them, and they're placed all around the metropolitan area, city, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and so on. I'm also a patron of the district, and although I don't have any children or grandchildren who attend school here, every patron of the district has a vested interest in the success of the schools. I'm very proud of the school board. I think you do a wonderful job. I'm very proud of our schools. I can't say enough good about them. I would like to offer one idea. However, I was at Hazelwood Central when the desegregation program went into effect, and we got City of St. Louis kids. Some of them were wonderful, a true asset to any classroom. I could give you names, but I won't. That's not my business to put their names out. Not all of them were, so I'm hoping that their discipline records come with them, like their health records come with them. Administrators, teachers, counselors, everybody needs to know what they're getting into, and that's a good way for that to happen. I have two other things. First of all, I'd like to see a time limit set on this. I've been in education for 34 years. I've been in business off and on during that time and before that time, and I can tell you that any program that does not have a time limit or an end date on it doesn't get done very well. So I would like to see 2 years, 3 years max. If Normandy School District can't get their ducks in a row in that length of time, they're not trying, and DESE should do something about it. But for them to continue sending students out here makes Francis Howell the Band-Aid on the wound of the Normandy School District. And the other thing is not quite as positive, I'm afraid. I think that you should all get together and see how many extra support personnel perhaps an additional teachers need, and factor that into the cost per student that Normandy has to pay. As a patron of the district, I do not want to hear the words, "We need a tax increase to pay for this." Thank you.
Just a couple of comments about our last speaker. The tuition rate is set by statute as well, so we don't get to arbitrarily set the number, whatever it is. That is set by statute as well. And until the law is changed, there is no time limit on it until the law is changed in some manner. So I want you to know that. So if we were to get in the neighborhood of, I think we figured it today, 500 students times $11,000 per student, which is what our tuition rate will be, a little over $11,000. We would be looking at $1.6 million to $2 million that we would get as a result of these students coming to Francis Howell. All right, next speaker, please. Next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Anna Gears, and I'm a concerned citizen. I also have a granddaughter in this school district. I have a few questions. I know you've all been put on the spot here. It's a short period of time, concerned with student-teacher ratios. Unfortunately, you're not even going to know until the day school starts where these students are going to be and what classrooms. You indicate in your paperwork that you're going to prepare the teachers for helping students that have learning problems or that are a little under more than A students. But how are you going to do that when you don't even know until the day school starts? The students that have tried so very hard in this school district to keep the accreditation going, once Normandy comes in here, will that lower our accreditation?
Yes.
Also, if the students that come into from Normandy, if they decide it doesn't work here, do we as a school district have to pay back that tuition? Or do we continue to keep getting that tuition? However, how are we going to be paid? Is it monthly, yearly, lump sum? How are we getting that tuition? These are concerns because I agree with the young lady in front of me. I do not want to be taxed. I'm already paying. I've paid for my kids. I'm paying for my granddaughter. I'm paying for every student, as we all are in citizens. And we don't want our taxes to increase anymore. I'm really concerned about the student-teacher ratio.
Okay, thank you.
Because that will eliminate learning privileges for the students that are already here, let alone Normandy. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple of responses to that question. I just want to remind everybody that this timeline nor this solution are solutions that Francis Howell would have chosen either. We're doing the best that we can. We found, you know, it hasn't even been 2 weeks ago that we've been notified. So we're going to do the best we can. We're working as quickly as we can to get the student records and get them placed. Is it going to be inconvenient at the beginning of the school year? Absolutely. I think there's no doubt that it's going to have an impact on what we're doing. We did find out yesterday, we got some guidance from DESE that the student scores, I know in the FAQ that we had put out, we did find out yesterday that those student scores will be will become our scores. So, and then I wanted to, I'm going to pass the microphone over to our chief financial officer, and he can share with you the payment plan that we'll have in place.
First of all, I would like to thank all of the patrons here tonight. We recognize the commitment that you make through your tax dollars to support the schools, and we appreciate that very much. The Board of Education on July 18th is going to be, we are recommending a policy and regulation that addresses the collection of tuition for non-resident students. And we're going to take our annual tuition rate, which is calculated, as Dr. Sloan mentioned, according to the provisions of the state statute 167-131, and a spreadsheet formula model that the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education has created. And we will take that and divide it into one-tenth increments, and we will bill one-tenth of the tuition each month for every student who attends. So if a student attends for one day during the month, we will bill the sending district for the entire month for that student. So we'll have that tuition coming to us on a monthly basis. So at the end of August, we bill for the month of August and so on through the course of the year. We have assurances from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education that if the sending district falls behind in its payments to the receiving district, that they will intercept their state aid and send that to the receiving district. So,
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Yes, we're going to talk, yes. I know that there's been a lot of conversation, and if I was a parent and my kids have gone through this school district as well, I would be concerned about the class size, and I know that's a concern that you all have. As a school district, our Board of Education adopted a strategic plan in 2011, and their goal was to continue to move our class sizes to DESE desirable, not at the maximum level, but at the desirable level. So we have continually been trying to move those class sizes down, and we have done a very good job of doing that. As we move forward into the 13-14 school year, we will take a recommendation to our board next week that we continue to keep our class sizes at the desirable limit. And we will give you the numbers, but I want you to know that we're going to make every commitment to making that happen. And I'm going to ask Dr. Griggs, who works in HR, to share those numbers with you. And we should be able to give you some approximate number of students that we may take. Is that on?
Our DESE.
As Dr. Sloan said, we have been trying to move in our district toward DESE desirable standards, and I'll tell you what those are in just a moment, for several years. And in fact, when our staffing plan went to the board this January for the 13-14 school year, it included accommodations that most of our class sizes, and most of our grade levels would be at DESE desirable. And those class limits are 20 for grades kindergarten to second, 22 for grades 3 to 4, 25 for grades 5 and 6, and 28 for grades 7 to 12. So those are the Those are the DESE desirable limits. Those are the DESE desirable standards that are established. And so, we know how many students we have enrolled now, and we know what these desirable class limits are, so we know, we can do the simple math, we know what the difference is. However, that number changes that number changes every day throughout the summer because we get enrollment from our own resident students. So we are anticipating that we could have students slots available in the range of anywhere from 400 to 1,000. We just won't know what that is until we get to August 1st and we know what our own resident enrollment is. So we'll be tracking that. We'll be looking at it on a regular basis until such time that we will have to place students from unaccredited school districts in those slots. Currently, we have space, I'd say, at every grade level, not in every school at every grade level, but we have some slots at every grade level. And when we talk about secondary, what we looked at was our core class slots. It's a little difficult for the non-core classes because we don't know what student requests will be, whether they'll want to take art or business or whatever. So we did look at the core classes to determine that.
We have been in touch. We're in the middle of the enrollment process. Currently, our Normandy has started their enrollment process. We know that to date we have had 150 students make application to Francis Howe. And I think that, you know, my guess would be, don't hold me to this, probably 600-ish type would be their number, maybe. I don't know what to tell you other than that. But if you take 600 kids and extrapolate them out over 18 buildings, that would be approximately 34 students per building. And I know the math doesn't play out like that, but to date we have 150 kids. We know that the other school districts have many more students than we have to date. We know that number will increase, but that is our latest numbers right now. Okay, our next comment. Are you on?
No.
Are you one of us?
Hi, my name is Beth Cerami. I grew up in Jennings. I shopped school districts when I was pregnant. That's how I shopped. I didn't shop by house. I shopped by school district. I shopped the school district first, and then I called the house. And then I worked two jobs to pay the taxes on that house. And I had my children, and I brought you my children. And I don't know about the rest of you. I had a kindergartner in this year, and the teacher said, "This is the template for the country. This is beyond. He's going to be so far advanced." Now, I didn't have a choice over this. I've being from Jennings, I've watched the dismantling of an award-winning school district. I've watched it. I went to Catholic school because I had to, not because I wanted to, but because I had to. So I know the routine. This is what I want to know from you. In 1 month, I send my three small children to you, and I want to know, is there going to be metal detectors? Because I want to be clear. I'm no expert. I'm not you guys. I don't have an accreditation, but I've read. So we're not talking about the Normandy School District losing their accreditation because of their buildings or their structures or their teachers. We are talking about violent behavior that is coming in with my first grader, my third grader, and my middle schooler that I'm very worried about. And I want to know, you have no choice like me, I want to know where the metal detectors are going to be, and I want to know where your drug-sniffing dogs are going to be, and I want, this is what I want the same security that Normandy gets when they walk through their school door, and I want it here. And I want it, and I want that security before my children walk into Francis Howell, because I shopped for a school district. I deserve to not have to worry about my children getting stabbed or taking a drug or getting robbed, because that's the issue. I don't care about the taxes. I don't care about everything else that falls by the wayside, because it will, 2-3 years when we all move out of the district. I care about the first day of school, and I care about what's going to happen to my child. That's all I care about. I understand that the program will fall. I care about his safety, and I care about getting him back in one piece, and I wonder what your plan is for that. You've got a plan for school shootings. You go on lockdown. I want the plan for inside. I want that plan. That's what I want. I want that plan. Before I send my baby, I want that plan.
To start, we've been in touch with the Normandy School District, and they do not have metal detectors in their school. All I can tell you is what they have told us.
I called Normandy School District, and they told me they have metal detectors in their school. Jennings High School has metal detectors in their school. Those schools have metal detectors. I called them the same day I called the principal of Fairmont, talked to Dr. Day. I called Normandy to see what their security was. They have metal detectors, and they have 2 armed guards daily. And I want it. That's what I want. Because I don't want to talk to you when my child gets hurt, and you say, well, we didn't put it in the budget. Put it in the budget.
Okay, all I can tell you is what we were told when we called over there. I've not been in the Normandy School District. I don't know. Hey, we're good.
Regardless, what Normandy has or what they don't have, can we get the metal detectors? That's my question. That's my only question. Can we get metal detectors?
I can tell you that we do not have plans to install metal detectors in our school buildings. Thank you. Next comment, please.
Hello. Hello. My name is Renee Blake, and my children and I and my husband have been residents of this district since 2001. Our kids have been raised around the Francis Howell School Districts. We have probably been at soccer games with you guys and basketball games with you guys, and I am totally appalled that we have now gone back to 1954. We sit up here and we talk about kids on drugs and kids with needing metal detectors. There was a bait shop behind City Mortgage that sold synthetic marijuana. Where were you all when that happened? There were students who did circles around our yards in our nice, pristine neighborhoods that they didn't come from Normandy. They came right from Francis Howell. There were kids who put paint upon driveways with the B words that didn't look like me. They looked like you. So this is not about money or drugs or kids. What I want to know is that, and I want to make sure you know that I know, that every student who comes from a failing school is not a failing student. Every student who comes from a failing school is not a failing student. I was a product of busing. I was a product of going to schools with the majority white people. I have a master's degree in business administration. I am not a failing student. The issue is, what I want to know from these people here, which I commend you wholeheartedly, is that what are we going to do to protect these students when they come to our community and want an education? Are we going to have security out there to protect them when they walk into the school? When I said to my student,
ladies and gentlemen, if we could please be...
When I said to my daughter that they were... France Normandy was coming into our schools, you know what she said to me? She said, wow, I can't wait. I got 18 seconds. I can't wait to meet them. So I want to know, ladies and gentlemen, 11 seconds. I want to know, ladies and gentlemen, what are we going to do to protect these students when they come to our community?
Thank you. Again, at Francis Howe, we are going to do everything that we can protect, that we can do to protect all of our students. As I said earlier, we are very vigilant about safety in this school district, which is no different. Every school district, that is the number one priority that we have. We will do everything that we currently do to make sure that our students are safe. And first of all, and the thing that I didn't mention a while ago, was just building relationships with kids, making them feel welcome when they do get here. This is their school. They get one chance at an education. And when they walk through our door on August the 8th, as a school district, we are going to educate all those children and make them feel as safe as they can feel. Thank you.
My name is Rhiannon Walsh. I'm a parent of two Francis Howell students. I have a non-inflammatory question. One of my children is involved in the special education, and I haven't heard anybody address anything about any of the peripheral programs, special ed, early childhood, preschool, any of the alternative learning situations like Union High and Heritage. I haven't heard any of that addressed, and I don't know, A, if any of that is taken into consideration when you say it's based on class sizes, student-teacher ratios, et cetera, if any of those will be bumped up because of that, if that just falls under the umbrella of everything else. I want to make sure that my children's special education is going to be as wonderful and fantastic as it has been the entire time they've been here. You know,
we absolutely will do everything we can do not to have an interruption in service. We do not anticipate an interruption. Our students will not see any different services than they've always had. And when we have students who come to us with disabilities from the neighboring school district, we will work to implement those IEP plans as seamlessly as we can. I don't know, Mary, if you have anything who works with our academics, if she has anything she wants to add to that.
I would just press the button, Mary.
I would just add that we know that we will be receiving students with special needs, and that is going to increase some caseloads, and we will be hiring additional staff as we would if we had additional students with special needs. So we'll implement your child's IEP as we always have to the quality that we always have, and we know we're going to be required to implement additional IEPs as those students come in.
So will you be evaluating all of the incoming students for the need for an IEP in case the Normandy School District did not evaluate them successfully?
We are working on a plan to make sure that we have all of the incoming IEPs on day one so we can implement services as quickly as we can. And then as students come in, we will evaluate learning needs as we do our students. So we know that that's going to require some additional support.
Okay. Is special ed over the resource area as far as getting these kids up to the same grade level that they're going to be placed into? Is that going to take away from special education availability because special ed teachers will need to help with resource activities and not just disabilities or anything like that? Getting the new kids up to the same standards that we are at currently, will that be handled by the teachers, by the special ed department? Will special ed be overly burdened by children who are not actually disabled because they need resource?
We anticipate using the tuition funds to provide the additional interventions should we have that need. So
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by additional interventions.
It may require additional staffing, might not be special education or general education teacher, but we would be providing some staffing support to address struggling learners.
Okay. There was nothing about early childhood, especially early childhood special ed. Apparently Normandy doesn't participate in that. According to their numbers, they have zeros for everything for the last 5 years. Will children in that district as early childhood students also come over to Francis Howell? Will they be covered by tuition? Will
the early childhood students will not come to Francis Howell.
Even for early childhood special education?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The handheld.
Good morning.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Tatmeyer. I have twin daughters that are going to be in third grade this year in Francis Howell Schools. And I'd like to start by saying that every child, no matter where you come from, deserves a education, as well as a safe education. Unfortunately, I don't think this is a solution for anyone. As the man who spoke first said, on average, a third of all students that are allowed to be bused will be bused. I don't know if you guys have looked at the Normandy statistics, but they have almost 5,000 children. So if we even get a fourth of that, we're still looking at over 1,000 places. And I was told earlier that 1,000 is going to be our max. Where do we cut it off? How do we decide who gets to stay and who gets to go? Not to mention, how do we decide how it's going to be safe? Because just because you get their behavioral records doesn't mean they've been caught.
Hello, my name is Eric Lee, and I am the senior class president at Francis Howell High School.
I am Gavin Galanis. I run track and field at Francis Howell High. I'm cross country captain, and I'm active in sports.
We would just like to say that we haven't seen a lot of students here today, and we'd like to, as representatives of the student body at Francis Howell, say that we are happy to have these new students at our school. We think it'd be a great opportunity for many of these students. And there's a lot of assumptions. There's a lot of assumptions being thrown around out here today that we think are at least partially unfounded. And we think that, really, I don't think we can assume that the Normandy kids are going to be problems.
You know, being active on both track and field and cross country, everyone I've talked to, no one's opposed to it. Everyone's excited about the new people coming and the opportunities that are going to be provided to them. And everyone here, no one has asked how do the kids feel about this when we feel completely fine about it.
We're sorry this may not have been as eloquent or well thought out as some of these people have prepared.
We understand that we're kids and we're not the ones paying taxes, but we are the ones that are going to be seeing them every day. And
And we should remember that, I haven't done the math, but I think about 90% of the kids coming to our school are the students. And as representatives of the students, we can say that we are not opposed to it.
Thank you, gentlemen, for coming out. Can I say something about this one?
I just want to say something. I've been on the school board for 12 years, and I appreciate your guys' support. I'm walking over here to these gentlemen because I want to make sure they hear me. This is not a fix. You guys are responsible for making laws in the state of Missouri. You provided no responsibility to enforce them on this bill. You provided no help to do anything about the situation that we're faced with. It's very unfortunate that the Normandy students have to come over to Francis Howell to go to school. It's also unfortunate that we have to have them in our school district. And what's even more unfortunate is it is a waste of taxpayer dollars.
Exactly.
Huge waste of taxpayer dollars. You guys have crafted a bill that will bankrupt a school district. You have the opportunity to change it. I suggest you go back to the governor, have a discussion with him, call a special session. Otherwise, you're going to bankrupt another school district as Wellston. And this school district should not be responsible for bills that you craft with no chance of enforcing it or being able to have a school district survive. This is going to be a trickle-down effect. And if we as taxpayers don't stop it, don't call our state representatives, this is going to continue to happen, and there will be no stop to it. We'll have to move out. We'll have to move out to Columbia and maybe Kansas City. We don't want this here in Francis Howell.
My name is Leslie Steinlage. I also grew up in Jennings. In my school, when we grew up, we had metal detectors. No one could come in with any color book bag or anything that ever had where you couldn't see something into them. We had guards walking our halls on a consistent basis, and we also had no buses. They took our buses away. I've worked several jobs and very hard to get myself and my son out here to Francis Howell. I am a single mother. A single mother with no government assistance to do this on my own. Where is the accountability for this district to put an end to this? When will the metal detectors come in, or the guards walk in through the halls, or the security dogs? I grew up with this. I'm not going to have it for my son. So will this district send my son to a better school when this one goes down?
Did you guys have any response to that? Hello, everyone. And really, I would like to turn and face the parents out here, if that's okay, if I can kind of turn to the side. Hello, everyone. Nice to meet you guys. Hate to meet you guys this way, but it is what it is. Yes, I am from North County. My children do go to Normandy Middle. I have been in Normandy Middle School District for a year now. this is kind of crazy. It is. And I'm very nervous. You guys are like very on, you're on fire. Let me set this down. Sorry, I'm not going to be long. Yes, I grew up far from where just attending a Jennings Middle School or a Jennings School District. I actually grew up with the drugs and the killings and the everything that goes on in the news that you see. I go through that every day. That is not funny at all. It's not a joke. I go through it. I do not raise my kids to go through the same thing, and I hate that you guys are judging what these kids, maybe they need this change. Maybe they do. My girls, I will email everyone in here their report cards. I am a young single mother. I'm going through it. But because I grew up in that environment, I never wanted my kids to. I'm still working to achieve certain things. No, I have not achieved everything, but I am working. I get up and go to work every day. I put my kids in schools. Not good schools. It's just where I reside. I'm sorry, it's not. I know what the Normandy School District is going through. I do know that. But my children are not like all the other kids. And I was really excited to send them out here. But until today, when I got here, it hurts. It breaks my heart that you guys, yes, you guys have made your children work hard. But I have too. Don't judge my girls, my daughters, because of what these other kids go through. I don't want my kids in the school district. I don't. Don't judge what someone else is doing. And I'm sorry that it had to come to this, but know that I will be there. I will be at parent-teacher meetings. I will be helping my daughters every night to 12 o'clock if I have to. I've done it. I'm going to continue to do it. So I'm sorry it had to be like this. I'm sorry that it's more so that I hear a lot of parents in the aisle saying that you guys just want the money, and I hate if it is that way. In my head, I thought that you guys wanted this. But if that's exactly what it is, then that's your opinion. I honor and respect everyone's opinion. And do not say things like, what about the drugs or the school? You know what? You can. I rephrase that because, like I said, I grew up in it. But everybody is not like that. My girls are, you will love them. And it's sad because I just sent my daughter to summer camp for a whole week. And you know, she was the only black girl there. They did not treat her like this. They did not. They did not. Everybody is not the same. Please do not judge everyone. Now, don't get me wrong. When those kids that do come out here and they clown, treat them how they're supposed to be treated, because I would. Please, if everyone can put all this energy. Some of these kids need that difference. Some of these kids do. If you put this energy, it's a pairing up with some parents that's trying, that want that difference. I guarantee there will be a difference. Have a good night.
Hello, everybody. My name is Candace. I'm a single mother as well as the young lady who just stepped away. I recently moved from a Hazelwood school district because I saw that it was depreciating as the way Normandy has over the years. I moved my family out here to Francis Howell because I knew that my children would receive a better education than they were getting at Hazelwood because I saw my daughter's progress not excelling. As you can see, I am a minority, and I'm not against Normie in any way, but I am in fear of my child going to school and coming home being criticized, worrying about what she has on or why she's not doing some of the things that they were doing over at their school district. What are you all thinking about the teachers and the pressure that's going to be put on them? Are they going to have time to invest in our children the way that they have over the years? You know, that's another responsibility. You want us to volunteer and come and be a part of the team here because you're going to need it. With the teachers, they're not going to appreciate and want to be where they are anymore with the constant drama that's going to come with this.
You know, it's not a black or white issue here. That's not the problem. My biggest fear as a single mother, yes, I'm going to college. I'm working on my master's as well. I don't make $1 trillion, but I made it a way for me and my children to move to a school where I know that they will succeed because I'm fighting for it too. And I don't want my child to feel like I moved her from where we just came from. That's not what I'm here for.
I just feel like, is this on? I just feel like I want to reiterate and clarify here that we do believe every student who comes to us is going to get a good education. We do not intend to lower our expectations. We continue to have high expectations. And you have to remember, this is not, we did not ask for this. We are implementing what has been given to us. So please don't make us out to be the enemy. We are doing everything we can to make this as good as we can. We did not ask for this either, and we're going to make the best of it as we can. We cannot do it. We have to do it. There is no. All right.
You guys ready?
Am I on?
You are.
Hi. My name's Mike White. I've lived in the Francis Howell School District for 44 years. I went through it from grade one, graduated from Francis Howell back when there was one Francis Howell. I also have an MBA, and I'm a fairly successful business executive. I chose to stay in this community and have my kids go to the Francis Howell School District. Now, I've got some questions. I'm going to blast them out pretty quick here. The first few, I think, are from Ms. Ornsby. Considering the time, the time frame we have to work here, is there any chance on getting a continuance on this, or is it just, you know, because there are so many things that have to be done in such a short frame of time? And I'll, and please answer my questions when I'm finished so we don't eat up my 3 minutes. The other thing, for Ms. Ornsby, is there any idea about, well, is there any possibility that Clayton's going to appeal the Brettenfield ruling?
No.
Okay. And this, the next few will probably go out to just everyone. Ms. Sloan, I believe Sloan is it? You're absolutely right. We have to do this. We have to follow the laws. We don't have to like it, and we don't have to make it easy. Has anyone considered changing our school start times, moving start times up 20 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, making it a little less appealing? Now, concerns I have? I got a concern about, and I'm not sure I got the answer on this. Say you've got some second grader who has been in the school district that's just really not very well, and you're going to bring them over here. Are you just going to put them right into the second grade here? You know, is he obviously not going to be way far behind, or are you going to do some testing to decide where these kids should be? Your numbers, which I know you stated the study that was done by Clayton, and we've heard it here before, it's about 33%, which doesn't quite jive with your number of saying there's only going to be 1,000 that comes over. But that's, you know, I know no one is going to know till, what is it, August 1st?
Yes.
I would expect on August 2nd I get an email.
Yes.
We're going to want to know. Lastly, I'd like to address everyone here, and I'd like to, as a longtime member of the community, again, since 1969, I'd like to say thank you for everyone to comment, that came out and voiced your opinions. I'd like to ask everyone here a couple of questions. One, has anyone actually read this application for student transfer, the Safe Schools Act? There's about, I don't know, what is that, 8, 9, 10 things that they ask if the child has been convicted of. I'm pretty sure that most inmates in correctional institutions today didn't commit one of these offenses. This is some pretty serious stuff here. So this doesn't make me sleep better at night. So, well that's, again, I want to thank everybody for what they did. And to get this away from, it's not, it is an educational issue, but it's a quality of life issue. And let me assure you, I personally know a family in the Fox School District that was shopping for houses in our school district that were negotiating on a home, and when this came on the news, they ended negotiations. So, lastly, you know, everyone has an opinion on the voucher system, the this, the that. My personal opinion, there's only one winner in this, and that's the parochial school system. I'm fortunate enough that I can enroll my children in the parochial school system, but you know what? I wouldn't mind that voucher to help pay for it since I've been paying you guys, you know, for the last however many years. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Okay, I'll address the legal issues real quick. We don't have any standing to even ask for a continuance, and there's no appeal. It was a Missouri Supreme Court decision. It was a state issue. It was interpreting a state statute, and the only place you possibly could appeal is a federal court, but there's no jurisdiction for the federal court because it's not a federal question. And I would like to make a point about the numbers. Not all 33% are going to come here. They can choose anywhere they want to go. They just have to provide their own transportation. And there's districts that are a lot closer that I actually represent that already have many more hundreds of kids enrolling from Riverview and Normandy because they're closer to that school district. So I don't want you to believe that all of the kids transferring from Normandy are coming here.
Below, as far as how are we going to place the students when we get here, we'll be placing these students like we do any student who comes into us who's new. We don't know the background. We'll be reviewing their academic records and placing them appropriately and putting the supports around them that they will need in order to get up to grade level. And we know that will take some, you know, the first couple of weeks to determine some of that. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. You ready for me?
Yes, go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Joanne Dunaway. I am a resident of the district. I have two grandchildren. I do not have any children anymore. My question is, Kansas City has lost their accreditation, and yet they're not doing the transfer program. They are wait to see what happens. I'd like to know why we did not take that stance and why we moved so readily.
Let me answer that really quickly. Kansas City has a lawsuit pending. When this decision came out, their lawsuit is still in the legal system. They're waiting for their opinion to come out, just like the St. Louis area schools waited for this one to come out. The decision will come down exactly the same, but they're not waiting based on this decision. They have their own lawsuit that's going through the system.
Okay. Bill 167-131 states at the very last sentence that each student that is transferring has the choice of their school, that is their right to make. And then the transportation bill, which I think is 241, I'm not sure if that's the right number, just simply says that they have to provide transportation. I could not find in these bills anywhere where it says that the school board or a school district could select one district to be the receiving district. And therefore, I feel that takes away from the student's choice, and it is denying them their very right to choose and have the transportation that they do deserve. Another point that I wanted to bring up is that the Francis Howell District, 70% of the tax dollars are local for the school district. And Normandy School District, which comprises 24 municipalities, is 35%. And these stats have been around for a lot of years. The Normandy School District has had very low reports since 2002, and despite all their efforts, has never managed. So why was the plug pulled now? You know, why didn't they just keep working on it? They just got last April a $7 million bond increase to improve their schools, and they have a new superintendent. Why didn't they give it a couple more years to see if they can turn things around? The last point that I want to make is that according to the Missouri Department of Education's website, the Normandy School District kids on the APR annual performance testing tested in the ranges of 10 to 30% out of 100% in math and communication arts. Francis Howe students in 2012 tested 80 to 100%. My question is, when a child who is coming from an underperforming school with low test scores comes into a math class at Francis Howe, how will they ever possibly cope with the advanced level of the students in their classroom? What will it do to them emotionally? Will it make them lose hope? And who is going to help these poor kids? The last point is that Missouri ranks number 26 in the United States in education. Wisconsin is in the top 10. How did we let those cheeseheads get ahead of us? I think that we need to develop a grassroots organization, something like the Missouri Taxpayers for School Reform, to address these issues that are plaguing the state of Missouri and goes from all the urban school districts down through the rural, because we're just going to have a cascade of this problem this far point forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Amy Drescher. I have two children in the district, and I have a list of questions that I was going to ask. After listening to a lot of the parents talk, I just have to applaud you as a board for sitting here and taking some of this just hate. And I realize this is a state decision. You have to make do with what it is. So I am surprised that we are not turning and facing to these people over here who have made the decisions that you, unfortunately, as a board, have to implement and make decisions for something that we have no right to even... Oh, I'm sorry. I know every child in the state has a right to a valuable education, and in no way the character education that we at Francis Howe promote should in turn turn away the students, the families, everyone from the Normandy district. So we need to keep that in mind. We stress the character education in our children. We as parents also need to display that. I do have a few questions, though, that I still would like to address to the board. I know you guys have indicated there is space in the schools. Has there been any determination on where and what schools have those numbers? First question. I would also like to know that the Normandy district has indicated that 4,700 students are available in their district as of today. That does not account for the students that were homeschooled or the students that were put into a different school district or where the parents paid for education into a private school. Have those numbers been taken a look at? Do we have any idea how many students we're looking at from that perspective? When students come into our district, will they have a right to choose the school that they attend in our district, or will that be something that you as a board allocate to those children? So those are a couple questions I have, and thank you very much for your time.
All students, even the ones who are currently in private and parochial school, will begin their application process the same way that all of the students do. So they will go through that same process. And again, we don't know what impact that will have on the final number, but we know that we're getting the total number.
The total number of kids. 7,000
school-age children. Right. There are 7,000 school-age kids. Only 4,300 of them, I believe, are currently enrolled. Right?
So you're talking about
in Normandy, correct? As far as them being able to select a school, that is what the law says. The guidance that we've gotten from DESE is that we will have latitude to place those students in our schools, and every one of our schools currently has some availability of space in it. And so we will be taking a look to with some different criteria of how those kids will be placed.
One other comment I would make is we need to remember that St. Louis has traditionally had a very strong private and parochial school system. And unlike many other areas, it's not unusual for 25% of the eligible student population to be enrolled in private or parochial schools, simply because we have such a strong system of schools here in the St. Louis area.
I'm sorry, but do we know what schools in our district have the space?
Every school has space.
Every school has space.
Yes.
Do we know how much?
I don't know if we have it all on paper. Do you have that, Steve? We have not placed any students. We have not determined any schools at this point. We're not that far along yet. But do you want to speak to the space?
First, I'd like to clarify a number that I said a while ago when I was talking about class size. And what we said was that we anticipate that we could have space from anywhere from 400 to 1,000. We don't know today what that number is because we are continuing to get enrollment from our own resident students. It's typical. It happens every summer. Folks move into the school district, and we enroll those students. So we're keeping an eye on those numbers. And come August 1st, we will know exactly how many spots we have in every school and at every grade level. So we didn't say that only 1,000 students would choose to come to Francis Howe. We said that we think our availability could be somewhere between 400 and 1,000. We know that's a wide range, but we don't know how many enrollees we're going to get between now and then.
Hi, my name is Tiffany, and I have two children that are in the Francis Howe School District. I have one going into fifth grade and one who's going into second grade. When we moved into the Francis Howe School District, we came from Hazelwood School District. We came to the Francis Howe School District because in 1 year's time, my, at that time, second grader was approached by another child and told to him that if he didn't bring him money to school, he would kill his mother. When my kindergartner was in school that year, his teacher constantly explained to me, oh, he's an overbearing child. He's just so overbearing. I can't do this. I can't do that. I received a phone call from my five-year-old child the day after spring break in tears, bawling, trying to explain to me what was going on with him in his classroom, and the teacher hung up the phone. We moved to the Francis Howe School District. My then kindergartner went into the first grade here at Francis Howe. I met with teachers. I met with special education because in the Hazelwood School District, I was led to believe that he had a special education need. He was unteachable. He came into the Francis Howe School District. He's going into the second grade close to being on honor roll, being an honor roll student. So as the young lady before me, a few people before me stated, this is not a black or white issue. I send to you all my most prized possession every day. Every day. The child who threatened my son to kill his mother was an Asian child, so it's not about being black or white. It's about what a child may be taught. Normandy is not performing in their own district, so you bring them to Francis Howe so that Francis Howe comes down. This is not an unfortunate circumstance only. This is becoming an epidemic because, as the gentleman who first spoke stated, there are going to be many school districts after this one to lose their accreditation. So what do we do after that? Do we send them all to other school districts until the entire Missouri school system is underperforming? But nobody has an answer to that. I packed my kids up. I moved to the Francis Howe School District. My kids love their school. Love their school. Love their teachers. Love their peers. All of that. I don't want to have to pack my kids up again and move because they're being threatened at school or because they're afraid to go or because they have to wear a certain thing because somebody else is going to say something to them about what they're not wearing. I don't want that. They carry clear backpacks in the Normandy School District in their high school for a reason. I don't want to have to look online for my children a clear backpack because I don't know what somebody else is bringing to school because I know what mine are. I know what's in their backpack when they leave the house every day. I know what's on their back, and I know what they're going to do when they go to school because they know. This is not a choice that any of us had. We weren't even notified until we, I know, I was notified, I don't know about everybody else, but when I saw it on the news. No email, no nothing. So I don't expect to receive an email to find out how many children are going to be attending school with my children when I've already received a letter from my children's school asking me to send them to another school because our school is already overcrowded. So I won't get an email on August 2nd either telling me how many more children are being added to an already overcrowded school, correct?
I want to clarify here. I found out June 28th, and I sent an email out Monday. So
I didn't get an email about everything else. I didn't get that
if
email.
If you were signed up on our
deputy, I am.
Then you should have received it. And we will continue to update the community on our enrollment numbers.
Thank you.
My name is Jessica, and I have one daughter in the Francis House school system. I'm not originally from Missouri. I'm from Florida. So when I came to this state of Missouri, I shopped around just like everybody else and found a good school system that I thought my child would be proud to go to school with. I checked the gradings of the school system and thought that she would do well in Francis House, and she has. My question is, to this gentleman that gave out the numbers about the desirable number of students in a class, I don't want to hear about the desirable numbers. I want to hear about the capacity, the maximum capacity of kids in a classroom. Because we went through this already within our district when MAP test scores came out and two of our schools were failing, okay? And they got the choice to go to my daughter's school and our classrooms became overcrowded in John Weldon. So I just want to say that I don't want to hear a desirable number. I want to hear about a maximum capacity because you've already stated that your desirable number changes on a daily basis. I want to hear about how many is too many in one classroom. My second part to my question is about MAP test scores. If they're already averaged into our school system right now, our 10A grade rating is already in the trash can, okay? So we did not even get a chance to get them up to their grade level to do anything with our average on MAP test scoring. So am I going to have to now sell my house while it's still sellable, while I'm still in a good school district? Because if I wait, we're going to be in the trash can and nobody is going to want to buy it. Because I didn't move to the suburbs, okay, to go to a school with all the barbed wire fences and the security guards and the extra, you know, metal detector. I don't want that for my child. So you're going to have a lot of parents that feel like now they got to take their kids out of your school system. So am I going to get a voucher to send my child to a private school that I feel that my child can now excel in because your school system would then be in the trash can? I mean, this is not going to solve anything, just like that parent. And I feel for those kids. I feel everybody deserves a good education. But just like you had the lawsuit from that end, you can have it on the reverse end to where our kids are now in a bad school. Our school system went in the trash can, and now I want to take my kid out of school and go to somewhere else. So who's going to pay for that? And I want to hear from these people. It is not fair that this is an open forum and you guys have told them not to speak. We want to hear what they're mumbling in their voices. We want to hear from these people right now. So
from them right now. So with their permission, I want to hear from somebody. Why can't we hear from them? They're talking amongst themselves. It's rude. They're talking, they're turning around, saying little remarks to people in the line. It is not, it's an open forum. Why can't they say what they're mumbling?
This is a school district open forum.
Why are they here then? Why are they here? If they cannot speak, why are they here?
They are members of our community.
They're members of our community.
Uh-huh. They can come here and listen and hear what their constituents have to say, and that's what they're here for.
Okay, well, the grandparent
spoke.
And so if they're members of this community, they have the right to speak as well.
They do.
So I want to hear from them.
They
live in this Francis Howe school system, they have the right, just like anybody else that didn't have current kids that go to these schools, they have the right to say something as well. You can't bar them from talking.
We have not barred them from talking.
But why can't I hand the mic to someone that lives here? Why can't I hand him the mic? Do you live here? Do you live here? Do you live here? Hear from somebody. I'm not by myself.
Excuse me. We have a lot of people in line who have been waiting patiently.
Will y'all pass up your chance to hear from these people? They're willing to pass up their opportunity.
And I'm going to ask if those people would like to speak, that they would get in line. We are not going to peer pressure people into speaking.
He wants to speak. He's been speaking the whole time.
He needs to get in the line like everyone else. Thank you.
So they can get in line.
Yes, they may. All right. At this time, if I could have everybody's attention. Wait. All right. We'll come back to that.
Answer my question about the maximum capacity.
We will. Excuse me. We said, if we can hang on 1 second, we said that we would end at 7:30. So those of you who would like to leave, we're going to pause just a second, let you leave, and we will answer the questions of the people who are in line before we conclude the evening. So if you'd like to leave now, please feel free to do so. Okay, we will take the next question. We need to finish commenting on our last speaker. I want to clarify about desirable class sizes. We are not changing our class size policy in order to accommodate these students. I want you to be aware of that. The class sizes that we have tried to maintain in Francis Howe will remain the class sizes that we will maintain. He gave those numbers earlier. Steve, can you give the numbers again, please?
Those numbers, we heard those numbers, and people were laughing in the audience because I have never seen a class size of 24, really. Those class sizes were up to 30. So what school are you talking about that's up to 24?
What school are you talking about and what grade?
That was the fifth grade, and it was 30 kids in the class at John. Well, we're at 30-something. So what schools are you talking about that are in 24 capacity?
We'll go ahead and try to answer your question.
Don't be rude. He asked me something.
Man, we do have a unique situation at John Weldon because of... We have a situation at John Weldon where we have limited space, and we have two teachers in one classroom space. So that is a bigger number of students in one space, but there are two teachers. So the average is still lower. And I can tell you I'd like to try to answer the question. Your question was how large were we going to allow class sizes to get? And here's the answer to that question. Now, I will say this, that as of right now, we do have some classes, some grade levels and some buildings that are a little over these. So we would not choose to add students to classes that were already over these desirable limits. So here are the numbers. 20 for grades K through 2, 22 for grades 3 and 4, 25 for grades 5 and 6, and 28 for grades 7 to 12. In the secondary schools, we're talking about core class sizes. Yes.
All right. Next question. Next, and the math.
We are planning to set the maximum at the desirable.
Those were the numbers that he gave you. You're welcome. All right, next question, please.
My name is Lisa. I have a son in Francis Howe. He went to Harvest Ridge last year, but we were told in January that they were redoing boundaries. They had 7 kindergartner classes. And we're going to Henderson. Did you have some idea that this was going to take place since it was in court?
We had no idea that they were.
I don't believe that. And the rooms are already at, some are at capacity. And they continue to add kids all throughout the year.
We will not go over our capacity in a building.
And your numbers aren't adding up. 1.6 million equals to 100 kids, but then later on you mentioned 500 to 600 kids. That totals 5.6 to 6.6 million.
Ma'am, here's what we know.
What are you going to do with the money? All right, I'm for every kid to get a good education, but right now our teachers are pretty strapped with time. There are no special ed. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of disability kids already in the classroom, and I'm all for everybody being in the classroom, but you got to be able to have the resources to do that.
The district has, over the past several years, made minor boundary adjustments in order to accommodate fluctuations in our student population. At various times, that has impacted the John Weldon, Warren, and Independence attendance areas. It has also impacted the Becky David attendance areas and Cosley as those students were moved between those schools. Most recently, the decision was made to move some students out of Harvest Ridge to Henderson, where we had capacity. But that was to deal with projections that we had for our incoming Francis Howell resident students. It was not made in any way as a result of or in anticipation of a resolution of the transfer case. And those of you who are parents in our district can verify the fact that we have made those attendance changes, minor attendance changes, that have affected attendance areas across the district as we've had fluctuations in the student population in various areas in our district.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi, I'm a father and a volunteer in the Francis Howell School District. I had 3 questions. One of them concerns the distribution of children coming in. I would like assurances, or as best you can, I would like to know your plan on ensuring that these students aren't placed in the closest geographical school to their bus route, but distributed throughout the district evenly. You get mixed stories with that. I have spoken to people at your offices. They have said they will be spread out. Normandy is assuring parents that they will be put at the closest school to the highway, so that way they minimize their bus route. I would like to know the plan on that. I have 2 other ones. I will be uncharacteristically quick. I doubt that it is the policy of the schools in the classroom to teach a whole class to the bottom third students to ensure that nobody is left behind. But in reality, in dealing with the classrooms and helping the teachers, I realize that that occurs every day in our classrooms, and I understand it. I would like a detailed answer as far as the plan to ensure that the top 2/3 and third students in our classrooms are not bored out of their mind. They maintain being challenged on a daily basis, and they are not the ones forgotten as we bring students in who, by no fault of their own, are coming in below our grade level standards, as example by their MAP scores. My last question, and then I'm done. I'm going to leave you a whole minute here. Next year, are these same students that come to our school district going to be required to reapply? The reason I ask that question is we have growth in our area still. If we wind up needing to service the needs of our own community, are we going to expand the border even more, or are we going to limit incoming on a year-by-year basis? And what guarantee is there that that is the policy the state recognizes?
I'll speak to the bus routes and reapplying. Yes, students have to reapply annually. And bus routes, we are moving forward with, if we're talking about capacity in our district, we're talking about capacity in all of our schools. We are not going to put them in one particular area of the district. So we will use all of our spaces. And they may be saying that over there. I understand that. We'll be having to work through it, because if that's the case, then we have very limited capacity.
Just for clarification of my question, are we going to geographically, Harvest Ridge is the closest elementary school to Riverview, or
no,
to
no,
Normandy.
Are we going
to fill Harvest Ridge and then move on to Henderson?
No, we won't move on. Right, no. We will have a set of criteria. The programs that are in the building, the pressures that are already going on inside a building, we have a set of criteria that we're going to look at and make a determination where to place these schools throughout the district. Not one school, not necessarily the closest school, but where can we best place those students to meet their needs and our needs? And I'll let Mary speak to that just a little bit, but in Francis Howe, we have extremely high expectations for learning, and we do not plan to decrease those in any way, shape, or form. We do know that students are going to come. We may have students, we may not, but we may have students come in who are not quite at grade level, and we will be assessing those students as quickly as we can, and with the tuition money that we're getting, we will be putting supports around those kids.
Let me speak a little bit to that. The majority of our students continue to need a challenge. And you're asking for a detailed plan. You don't want me to go into all of our detailed plans right now. But I can tell you that we have plans. They are. So let me tell you that we are not deviating from our plan to increase rigor in our school district. So we have plans to increase the reading expectation, the writing expectation, the math application, the amount of research that our kids are required to do. And don't underestimate our teachers in that regard. So it's on our website. We have two plans. One is called the Common Core Transition Plan. That is what increases the rigor. That's one of the things that increases rigor in our district. The other is the 21st Century Skills Plan, also on our website. The third is the CSIP. That's my academic department plan. All call for increasing rigor at every grade level across our district. And that will be the detailed plan that you can look at.
Okay, can that be sent out, not the whole plan, a link to it on the next email, because I scoured the district website looking for it.
We can send that in links in the hotwire.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I recently transferred or moved to this area as well out of an underachieving school district. I guess all of my questions have been answered up to this point, except for it kind of unnerves me a little bit when we talk security, because, and I want to say this, and this is not probably going to go over well, but when I came to this district and found that there are drugs in Francis Howe, there are fights in Francis Howe, that concerned me, but I don't remember talking about metal detectors and dogs and sniffing and things of that nature. So what kind of message are we sending to Normandy and those school districts that are coming to us when we automatically want to raise metal detectors? I mean, what's the message that we are sending to them? Isn't that a form of prejudice? That's my question.
Thank you.
I realize they already have them. I realize that, but what's the message that we're trying to portray? Are we trying to say that they are bad kids? What about the kids in our own school? My kid is an A student,
And we're coming here and trying to be safe as well. But yet, my kid is getting caught up in things that's happening already in the school. So where is that protection at?
Thank you. Next.
I guess this is on. My name's Eric. I actually think I might have sent an email to a couple of you, and I apologize if I bent it incorrectly. Just getting back from vacation, I heard the news. Hey, did you hear the Normandy thing? I'm thinking, Normandy? I thought, you know, the war. I'm thinking, what? So anyway, I find out it's about the school busing. I'm thinking, nope. I started researching it, and I pulled a few things up. And actually, what amazes me, the first speaker was Mr. Peterson, and I do appreciate his comments. If he don't mind me stating this, I like what he stated. Basically, being a president of Florence School District in 1980s, he saw the busing did not, or what busing did to the school, it flat didn't work. Only proper funding works. I know this has not got anything to do to try to control this, but the point is the voice. Now, going back down to another person I think is here is Mark Parkinson, state representative. I will state here, I love this little comment. I seen pictures of Normandy High School. It is described as the Taj Mahal of public schools. And if elected board members chose to step down the niceties of the high school, they could have chose to elect a board to spend more money in that classroom rather than elaborate on the infrastructure, and they would not be in the mess they're in today. So now what we're doing is we're taking their mess and fixing it. We're going to take all the good students from their high schools, take them to ours, and it's going to even further diminish that area. Look over at North County. Look at Jamestown Mall. Look how nice the areas used to look. What have they done to them? The government takes it away. They don't fund it, and it just diminishes it. So who is the creation of the problem here? It's not the parents, the students, the teachers, the children. It is the people running this government. We need to change it. Get them out.
Thank you.
I have three kids that go to school here. My name is Maria Wilson, and I just had a concern in regards to the accommodations. I know that this came up fairly quickly, and it was thrown on the school district. So my question is, as far as planning goes, you guys were speaking to the kids coming throughout the district fairly quickly, and I want to make sure, and I would like to know in more detail, the plans that you guys have in place as far as the teachers go, as far as administration goes, so that our current students who are planning on starting school and the kids who are planning on coming here, their education is not sacrificed due to lack of planning because, you know, this whole political issue was thrown on you. So, I mean, I don't want that. I mean, it was supposed to be an educational improvement, but in fact, it might be an educational dud. Just at that. So if you can speak to that a little bit, I'd appreciate it.
As far as the professional development, we talked about that earlier. I can sit here and honestly tell you we don't have a detailed plan at this point. We have plans to start the school year with some training. We know that we're going to have to plan some things throughout the school year.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm not talking about professional development. I'm talking about preparation. I'm talking about, you have just a few weeks.
Right.
And so you have a lot coming up, and you're not getting the numbers. And so you have to almost prepare for the unknown. And so forecasting, logistics, everything has to come, and you have to know yesterday what you're going to be receiving tomorrow. And so therefore, there's a lot you got to know. You got to know what's going on tomorrow, and you should have known that yesterday. And if you don't, there's thousands upon thousands of kids that are going to be affected by that. And not only that, you've got kids who are going to be graduating. You've got kids who are looking into colleges. You've got a whole lot of things that are going to be affected by that. And I'm telling you, grades are going to slip quickly. And that's back on you guys. That's all back on you guys. And it's back on you guys as well, because you guys should have been able to prepare quicker. You guys should have been in talks with the districts. My husband is an administrator as well. If you knew it was coming down to St. Charles, talk to these people. Keep open communication. Know what the heck is going on. And keep an open communication line. That is where government is failing right now. Communication is failing. Sorry.
I know that Dr. Sloan is going to be too humble to say it, but she has spent almost every waking hour since June 28th focusing on how we're going to prepare Frances Howell to deal with the transfer situation. And that is also true for Dr. Griggs and Dr. Hendricks-Harris, for myself. We have had the opportunity to work closely with Dr. Sloan, and no one should leave here thinking that things are going to go awry for lack of planning. Dr. Sloan is a master planner, and we are building the plane as we are flying it. That's the situation in which we find ourselves, but we are working very hard to make this a successful transition. We had the opportunity yesterday to meet with our faculty. Our faculty had a lot of great suggestions for us and are going to help us make this a smooth transition. So we are working very hard to make this a successful school year for all of our students.
My name's Anita Miller, and I'm a resident here for 36 years, and I went to Frances Howell Schools as well. I'm also a teacher here, and I'm president of the Teachers Association. And I want to applaud administration for all the things that they've been doing. They've been upfront and honest with staff, finding out, letting us know as soon as they know something, taking our suggestions, and keeping us informed. I want the families of Frances Howell to know that, and the families of Normandy to know that the teachers in Frances Howell will welcome and value every student that walks through the doors. They will work tirelessly to make sure that these students learn and have everything that they need. Along with the students that are here, like we do always. This isn't an ideal situation, but we're dealing with this the best that we can, and our teachers are up for the challenge, and we are going to do the best that we can. Just like we have brought our scores up before, we will bring our scores up again. So we're not worried about safety. We aren't worried about safety. We are not, because we are okay. Everything is fine. The kids will learn. The kids will learn. And we will have good class sizes. We will work together to make sure. I'm not blind. But I am confident that we will do everything that we can to ensure the safety of students and faculty in our schools. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lisa Myers, and I'm a parent in the Frances Howell School District. I have a son who's going to be a freshman this year, and a son that's going to be a junior. My question is, my son that's going to be a freshman has special needs, and I love the resources available in our school district. It's why I'm here. We have it all there. Until you guys get more staff hired on, is the quality of service he going to get, is it going to suffer until then to accommodate the new kids coming in? Because I live in this district, and I pay taxes here, and I get it. Those other kids need help too, but I don't think my son should be the one that gets pushed aside for the kids coming in. So until you guys get additional staff hired, are the resources going to be the same that he's had available to him for the last 9 years in the district, to where he is going to maintain and be an A and B student and getting mainstreamed into regular classes? And for my son that's a junior, when these new kids come in and they're going to be a year behind our students, is my son that's a junior going to be able to compete with the kids he's going to go to college with, or is he going to suffer these last 2 years he's in high school while we play catch up with the new kids coming in? Is he going to keep getting the same quality of education he's gotten Frances Howell for the last 10, 11 years now? I just want to make sure that our students aren't going to suffer and our resources ain't going to be our kids' resources aren't going to be set aside to accommodate the new kids coming in. And if a security issue does come around, because I know things have happened at Normandy that have warranted metal detectors, where is that money going to come from to secure our children as the Normandy kids were secured? Is it going to come out of the tuition money, or are you guys going to ask for another bond increase or a tax increase? Or what are we going to do to guarantee our safety for our children and that we don't lose resources, we don't lose what we've had all these years with our children, that we've paid for all these years?
I will just make a couple comments about that. One is the tuition. The students are coming. They will be paying tuition. We intend to use that tuition to put the supports in place, teachers, paraprofessionals, materials, supplies, whatever it is that the students need in order to not compromise the education. I want to assure you, I have been part of improving the learning in Francis Howell for over a decade now. I have no intention at any point of lowering our standards at any point in time. We will do everything we can to bring students up to standards, but we are not lowering our standards. These kids have futures. They get one chance at going through here. I understand that, and we're going to do everything that we can to make sure everyone leaves them as prepared today as they would have on June 27th before we were handed this decision.
Hi. I'm probably the newest mother to FHS. I just paid my first vacation station check this week. Yes. So my little girl will start kindergarten on August 8th. Big changes for us are in the way. We came to the school district in 2005. Same reasons the Jennings mom did. We shopped for school districts. I am a huge believer in not only higher education, as obviously your percentages are great in that area, but also in school districts that give a lot more than just a typical textbook education. You have band, you have art, you have sports. You're huge. I love it. I came from a school district very similar. Those arts are very important, and I realize that that is not necessarily the topic of today. But what we have seen in the past with other school districts is that when money becomes an issue, for whatever reason, it's usually the arts that are set aside. So if you're going to be having to spend money on security, on resourcing, on security education amongst your staff, you know, I understand that that is definitely number one. But we also need to make sure that the educational value that we are giving our students does not hinder because of that security. And so I'm sure many of you don't agree with me, but, you know, as a new mom, I look forward to seeing what my daughter will be doing in the future. And what I don't want to see her do is come home fearful every day. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Colleen Cosby. I'm a parent, a product of Francis Howell School District. My children are fourth generation. It's important for us to be here. We can run around the same tree all day. We don't like the law. I think my problem is I don't feel like we're getting answers. I know it's hard. You don't have all the answers. But at this point, we are 4 weeks from the start of school. We can throw numbers out like 400 to 1,000. We need you to make a decision. We need you to say, look, you know, it shows normally we're going to get 300 new people moving in, so we can only take 700. We need answers, and we are not getting those from you, which is why we're getting so upset, at least me. I want answers. I want to know how many students are coming in. How many do I prepare my four children for? We need this addressed. Also, with the numbers we're talking, if we're talking 400, 500 students from Normandy, that's 10% of their students, depending on what numbers you're looking at. Has Francis Howell been in contact with the 24-1 initiative, which is trying to turn the whole Normandy school district around, to see if we can work in conjunction with them to help them? Instead of us all standing here and screaming at each other, can we be a good neighbor without sacrificing our children, without getting in fights with ourselves is what we're doing? Can we work with them and bring this up? And can we start getting answers? I know you don't have the answers today, but I would assume as a taxpayer, a mother, a voter, that those decisions will be made and not, oh, we'll let you know when school starts. That's not acceptable. We have decisions to make before school starts. Would ask that you make those and give us hard numbers so we know what we're doing moving forward. And where? Where? How many? Because let's be honest, most of the schools can handle some, not all of them. You know, we're already moving our own children around. They all can't handle more. It'd be great if they were spread out. I don't think any one school needs 300 Normandy students moving in. They're not going to get what they need if we do that. We want numbers. We want facts. It is what we want. And if you could maybe be more proactive about sending this to, I got the email. I get lots of emails. I got kids in three different schools here. I get lots of emails from you guys, okay? Send that out to us. We don't want to be screaming parents. We don't want the media circus that we had. We just want answers. And it's hard because we don't feel like we're getting them.
And I would love to give you answers. I don't have them. I would absolutely share those with you if I have them. All I know is the number of students who are registering over there. I have no idea if they're going to come to us. And until August the 2nd, I will not know. We will not know. We will not know if the students who've made application end up coming here. Do we want them? We're trying to assess how many slots do we have available. We know that we have about 300 kids, I think, who come to us. Our trend shows between this period of time and August the 2nd, we'll take our numbers off the top of available slots that we have left, and what we have left is what we have left. But we do not know, sitting here today, how many students are going to come to us. We just do not know. We only know, as of today, we have 152 students.
Right.
And we do not know which buildings. It's going to depend what students we have, what needs they have.
Okay. My problem is you're throwing numbers. It just, okay. No, how many spots does Francis Howell have? Do we have 600? Do we have 1,072? How many spots do we have? And based on history, because Francis Howell's been around a really, really long time, what are we looking at with growth in the county that we can anticipate X many will be from kindergartners coming in, because that's always a brand new class, and people moving into the district? I know you guys don't go on this blind. You look at the statistics year to year to year. You have a ballpark idea. We're asking for you to share that with us because it feels like you're being very secretive.
I believe we gave that number out earlier. Did you?
A lot of ballpark numbers, a lot of about. 400 to 1,000 is not a ballpark.
We have approximately 1,000 slots available today.
Okay.
But I don't know how many students. We know that we may take up 300 to 400 of those with our kids.
Okay.
So that leaves that wide range of students that we could possibly take.
So you're looking at the possibility of 500 to 600 Normandy slots available.
Correct.
Because truthfully, Riverview Gardens can come here too. Any unaccredited district can come here. We're looking at Normandy because they're busing.
And I think I gave the number of 600 earlier, and again, yes, it's a ballpark number.
Will
because
you
I
be,
don't know how many right. Francis Howell students will enroll in this time frame.
And I understand that. My question is, will you be more open in emails? Because when we're not getting information...
The enrollment just started on July 9th.
I understand that.
And we will share that number with you.
We would appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Public speaking is not my forte, but I do have a question regarding class. Well, she kind of answered it with the class sizes. But I'm a native St. Louis and was part of the DSEC program. Very great opportunity for me. I was a great student. Worked out for me. Left. Came back to Francis Howell. Chose Francis Howell because, actually, I didn't know nothing about it until I came back. But I had one child graduate high school. I have two kids at Becky David. And my question is that, what are we doing as far as helping with the transition of these students coming into Normandy? What are we doing from the school level point? Because I remember my experience coming into a brand new school, brand new culture. These kids,
honestly, I feel that the kids that are coming here are kids that really are looking for a better education. It's not like Normandy is sending their worst kids out here. That's what my philosophy is about it. But I remember when I went to Ladue as part of the transition, I mean, DSEC program, you felt out of place. If we're going to be welcoming, we may as well face the fact they're coming. Let's try to make it better for the kids, because the kids that are coming want this education. What are we doing, or what resources are we allocating to help with the transition, and where is Normandy in helping with the transition?
In regards to transition plans, I can tell you that if we had more time, we know we could do a much better job at that. So the time frame is one of our greatest challenges right now. I can also tell you that we have been having meetings to make a plan for transition for those students coming to us. So right now I can tell you that is a hope and a plan, and I can't sit here and promise that it will happen, but we anticipate having the Normandy students come before the first day of school, possibly on our transition day, and participate in a program alongside to transition into our schools.
Okay, well, to piggyback on that also, we've been told that the student who participates will be allowed to participate also into the sports programs, the after-school programs, but if they're being bused in, how is that going to work? How will they be able to enjoy the experience if they don't have the transportation back to be a part of the school?
The transportation to after-school activities will be provided by the Normandy School District.
Okay. When I was a... I understand it's not a popular, you know, it's not popular with some parents, but I just reflect on the fact that these kids are coming here because they want to not only better education, but why should we restrict them because of lack of transportation to fully experience the experience? So I was just curious about that.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Julia Becker. I am ranked second in the junior class here at FHC, so you could probably say I'm a proud Spartan. Mr. Harris is a great activities director. We have a great school district, and I would just like to point out that we are having this meeting because of where we are. We are in the United States, we have First Amendment rights, and we are allowed to say anything that we want at this meeting. And I think that it's degrading to that right to limit students to where they can go to school because of their social standing. You understand that these students do come from a rougher neighborhood, but they don't necessarily have a choice. Do you really think that all of these students are going to take the hour-long bus ride in the morning to get here at 7 o'clock if they don't want to be here? What purpose does it serve them to spend an extra hour on a bus in the morning and in the evening if they don't want to be here? I am 16 years old, and I am the executive editor to our school's yearbook. I am a year ahead in two classes. I have been in AP Lang as a sophomore last year. My class size for that class was 12. Of all of the students. So where is your kid?
My kid!
I know you personally.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's finish your time.
So, if your student is not in a higher level class, then why do you care? Your kid is here, but I know plenty of kids that do not try at all. I am a student here, and I know that you guys probably don't care because I can't vote. But
Just because your kid's not in honors class doesn't mean that I completely support that. I worked with special needs children. I volunteer. I am just saying that if your student is not trying, is not succeeding, then whose fault is it?
Right. Let's let her finish her comments in her time, please.
Thank you for your time. I hope that everyone begins to see what's happening, because this is inevitable and it's going to happen at least for 1 year. Please try to make a difference.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Shelley Carbery. I'm a parent of four girls who go to Francis Howell, two of which are here. I have one special. She's a senior and a junior. I have one that's gone into How High, which is our homeschool, and I have a middle school who's, again, special needs. I have a lot of questions, and I'm going to ask them very quickly. One, what is the current size of your classroom? What is the square footage of your classroom?
Do you know the square footage of the classroom?
Whatever the square footage of this classroom is, divide it by 20, and that is the capacity that is allowed. I have called a fire marshal. Second, if this is a state issue, we vote on everything as a state. We voted for all of you. We voted for our politicians. Why didn't we get a chance to vote on this? We are supposed to have a say. The next one that I have, resource officers. I know that there's one. How many more are you going to add to the schools? One person cannot be everywhere, or if there's multiple things going on, it's not going to happen. You know, our teachers can be carrying mace. There are talk when Sandy Hook came up that maybe some of our teachers might be carrying firearms at some point. Is this going to happen? Now, I know all kids are not bad. Kids are a problem with their demographic, and that's an unfortunate situation. But we need to be prepared. I do not want to see a tragedy happen to anywhere, any of our schools, to any of our kids.
Mark, I'm going to let Parker
you know, the I have one more question for you. Or actually two more, I apologize. Years ago, when the Metrolink was being very popular, St. Charles County put to a vote whether or not we wanted the Metrolink to come across into our community. And we said no. And the reason we said no is because we don't want the different areas, I'm going to probably be very kind, coming across on our side of the bridge, bringing with it everything that we're fighting today against. And now you guys are willingly busing it into our neighborhoods. Last, my girlfriend's issue. She lives in a subdivision in Waterford Estates off Goodermouth. There's a boundary change. Her son now has to go to How High. She wants to know why she has to find her own transportation to get her son to school. Why he's not being taken care of our bus. You guys changed the boundaries. Innocent children are suffering now. You as a board need to take in consideration all our feelings. I know you guys are pretending to listen to us. It's going in one ear and out the other ear. Okay, you can shake your head at me all the time. Dr. Sloan, you can turn your head and whisper at the same time. It's lack of communication and it's lack of respect.
I'd like to address the issue about square footage. Our school district has always employed professional architects, and there are very specific design standards, and those standards are what we use when we construct our school buildings. So we know that what the average class size will be, and our classrooms are going to be built according to those standards. And those standards vary a little bit. A kindergarten classroom typically has a little bit larger space because of the way the instructional program is conducted than what you would see in a typical elementary school classroom. And some of our science labs, of course, are going to have a different amount of space because you're going to need to have classroom space as well as lab space. So there's no one single answer to classroom, square footage is. But to say that all of our classrooms have been designed to appropriate standards. Furthermore, we are regularly inspected by the fire marshals of the respective fire protection districts, whether it's West County or the West Protection District in St. Peter's or the Cottonville Fire Protection District, and we are not in violation of any fire code regulations.
We will not be.
And we will not be in
violation
of any fire code regulations. And we are still going to be regularly inspected.
Go ahead, sir.
Hi, my name's Eric Lowry. I graduated from Francis Howell, and I currently go here with my children. I have three children in the district. And it's kind of like, well, you know, where do we start with this? I mean, this is obviously a bad situation for everybody involved. But I know, you know, they talked about, first of all, I think it was the vice president of the Department of Education that said, this is about race. Well, let's get this clear. This is not about race. It's about the kids. It's about our kids. It's about their kids. And they, you know, I've read on blogs, people are like, oh, you should just do the right thing. It's all about, well, where was the Normandy community doing the right thing with their money, with their school district, if all these years it's been getting ready to collapse? Why didn't they do the right thing and fix their schools, not misspend their money, and kick the kids out of the school that are causing all the problems for the other kids that can't learn? Why didn't they do that? But now it's like, well, we need to do the right thing to accept all the other kids and possibly overburden our school, but they didn't do the right thing in their community. And nobody wants to see kids not get educated. I mean, it's obvious. We all want to get the kids educated. But, and like that one lady was saying, well, you know, it's just going to be the good kids that are going to come out here. How do we know that? Are we going to stop the kids at the border and say, hey, are you one of the good kids or are you one of the bad kids? So, with that also being said, I mean, there's facts and stuff and statistics that we can look at that go, okay, well, metal detectors, security and stuff. Well, obviously, our school district hasn't decided that we need those protections yet because we don't have those type of issues. Well, apparently, Normandy has decided that they either need metal detectors to screen their children, they need school uniforms to put on their kids. They need clear backpacks to give to their kids to make sure that they know what is being brought in the school schools. And yeah, you probably don't have that with the good kids over at Normandy, but somewhere along the line they've decided that's what they need as a whole in their school district to keep it safe. Now, are we prepared to just say, well, we run by a different set of rules here. We don't need that here. Well, what if we don't know what kids are coming over from Normandy, so obviously if we just go, we don't need that, well, then we're just turning a blind eye to the precautions that Normandy already decided that they needed.
Thank you.
So then my question is, if we say, well, nah, we don't need that, then, you know, and how many kids that, you know, have we come up with a line as far as how many kids need to be, you know, and also I want to state that obviously that Normandy has also come up with saying that they're one of, or I guess news sources, that kind of stuff, have come up with that Normandy school district being one of the worst, most violent school districts in the St. Louis area. So we're not just pulling this out of our hat like, oh yeah, this is what's going on, or that we're just making this up. There's obviously people that have stated that this is what's going on. So if we're inviting those kids here, or we're not inviting, sorry, we're being forced to take those kids in, because as far as I know, I didn't get to vote on that. And I don't know, are these some of our legislators over here? Because I want to know if, are they, or, okay. I would have worn my nice suit if I had realized you guys would have been here. I want to know who you guys are that, did you guys vote this through? Did we not get a chance? Although I was just told by a certain little bird that the Supreme Court actually sat on this decision until after the legislature was out to send their ruling through, so that we wouldn't have or they wouldn't have a choice. Our representatives wouldn't have the choice, I guess, to maybe... Yeah, exactly. Apparently that's what we need is a special session, but I guess the governor doesn't want to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, no, I'm not done yet. I want to know how many kids in our school district have to be either, you know, if somebody's assaulted, how many kids have to be assaulted, bullied, or whatever, before we go, you know what, that's probably enough. Or how many kids, I mean, also, the kids that are in the district that maybe that aren't like that one little girl that was over here, in the honor student. The honor student, well, yeah, great. Good for her. You know, I'm glad that she's an honor student. But what about the kids that aren't honor students? What about the kid that is struggling, but he's in our district, and we're taking care of him? And but now we're going to take an influx of other kids that are way, even maybe way below him. Yes, ma'am. Did you have something to say?
Yeah, I said you're done. People are behind you.
I'm sorry, but,
right,
you know.
Are you almost finished?
I'm getting close.
Okay, thank you.
You know, and I'm sorry if this is taking your time, and, you know, this is only the school district. But what?
I'll be the bad guy and say this district has extended this meeting way over the time limit. There's people been standing in line a long time, and you're being rude to the people who are still waiting to speak.
Yeah. And you guys are with doing this without a vote, and I'm guess you're all, I mean, are your kids going to this school? Are they in the district?
I don't have kids.
Did you have kids in school? Did they go to this one?
Don't engage. Right, thank
well,
you.
I'm glad they, and I'm assuming that, did they have any of the DSEG, the busing issues to deal with?
Yes.
And how did that work out for them?
Fine.
How about the other kids in the school?
Right.
Hey, sorry. It's my turn to talk. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. But yeah, we're talking about our kids, and I'm a little ticked off about not having to, yeah, I got it, buddy. We're cutting me off. My question is, how many kids that the kid that doesn't get to express his view, or the kid that isn't an honor student, how many kids of ours in our district are going to end up failing because we're bringing in other kids, and that kid isn't getting the attention that he needs? How many kids do we have to let fail from our district before somebody wants to say,
oh, well, you know, maybe that wasn't a good idea. I saw people saying, oh, yeah, well, maybe it's good for some of the kids in our district are going to get walked on to bring the other kids in. Well, you know what? I don't feel that that's a good answer to let the other kids get walked on or get left behind because we're bringing in kids from another district. Maybe you think that looks good on your resume, but that doesn't look good for us as parents when we're worried about
security. Sir, can I ask you to wrap it up so the next person can speak, please?
Sure.
And I'd be happy to speak with you later.
Okay, that'd be great. Maybe we could call another session and do this again because this is pretty fun.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know,
thank you. I'll be around afterwards. You can continue to talk to me.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi. My name's Nancy Smith, and I'm going to address this to you guys because you guys are parents just like me. I am a Francis Howell North graduate. I grew up in the Francis Howell School District. Go Francis Howell North. I'm a nurse. I'm married to a cop. We're not rich. We scrimped and saved, and we moved back to the Francis Howell School District 5 weeks ago. Thank you for this wonderful announcement. Because we knew the culture in the Francis Howell School District. I grew up here. I know that the parents here are involved and care, as evidenced by every single person in this room. We have both, my husband and I both, have worked and lived in underprivileged areas in our jobs. This is not a race issue. And I just want to say to, if she's even still here, the first woman who came up here and cried that it was a race issue, I'm sorry, that's her prejudice calling me a racist because my skin is white and I'm concerned about my children's education and safety. This is not a race issue. This is a commitment to education issue. I have many friends who are in education who are teachers. I have friends who have taught credit recovery and who have taught at night school. And I can tell you wholeheartedly from my experience as a nurse, my husband's experience as a police officer, and my friend's experience as teachers in underserved areas, that this is an issue of apathy and a lack of value for education that is rampant in these failing school districts. It is not a money issue. Throwing money at a situation does not solve the problem, and neither does sweeping another school district's problems under the rug of Francis Howell do anything to solve the problem. It just spreads it around. I have a question for you guys. How many of you here are really concerned about those A, B, or even C students that are going to be coming from Normandy who are willing to learn? Anybody? Nope. How many of you are worried about the 70% of the graduating class this year that didn't graduate from Normandy High School? Yeah. Whether it be because of a lack of willingness to learn, whether it be because of disciplinary problems, I don't really care why they didn't. I just care about the fact that they are bringing those problems here because Normandy and the community of Normandy failed to deal with those issues. This is a cultural issue of apathy. And after that, as with that, I yield the remainder of my time to Mark Parkinson.
For the record, I'm Mark Parkinson, State Representative, District 105. And I just want to go over some of the facts of the situation that we're dealing with today. Yes, it is true that the Supreme Court decided to wait to release this judgment until we were out of session and could do nothing about it. Had they done it the month prior, we could have done something about it. Another fact. At one of the school board meetings recently, it was discussed whether to allow the St. Charles County legislative delegation to join the board up here where we could address issues. They said no. Now it's apparent. I heard a why over here. It's apparent. So somebody could stand out here wagged their finger and placed the blame for something that originally occurred in 1993. I was 2 years out of high school. I'm a Francis Howell High School graduate. My parents met at Francis Howell High School in 1966, back when they had classrooms in Army barracks out in front of the what is now the high school. It's apparent why they didn't want us up here answering your questions and concerns. It's so they can come down here, wag their finger, and blame somebody. Gentlemen, I expect you to act like a board member of the Francis Howell School Board rather than the Normandy School Board.
Mr. Parkinson, you have every opportunity to change the law. Every year. That bill could have been changed this year. Language was left out of it, and you had an opportunity. It's not our responsibility. It's a shame that the kids in Normandy have to deal with this. Unfortunately, it's going to bankrupt the school district.
Not Francis Howell.
It's going to bankrupt Normandy, and then it's going to bankrupt another school district, and then what? You guys have an opportunity in session to change the laws. You chose not to. Now you want to sit there and wag your finger at me? Go to Jeff City and change the law. That's where the problem's at.
All right. If we could, Mr. Parkinson... 1 minute.
Okay. Well,
okay. Thank you. And then we're going to wrap up the evening.
Where do we go from here? This year, we passed Senate Bill 125. It's sitting on the governor's desk with no action. What that bill does, under current law, before the state school board can go in and appoint some adults in Normandy, you have to wait 2 full years. What Senate Bill 125 does is the day they become unaccredited, the state school board can go in and replace the elected board because they're not getting the job done and do it immediately. Does everybody have a pen handy? I want to give you a number to call.
Mary, are we good?
573-751-3222. That is the number to the governor's office. The governor of the state of Missouri is the sole power to call us into special session to fix this problem. This solely rests on his desk. Call his office. I've called on the governor 2 weeks ago to call us in a special session to fix this issue. He's on record this week saying he will not do so. Call his office.
Thank you.
Two things. Call us in a special session to fix the problem, number one. Number two, sign Senate Bill 125.
Thank you. All right, we have one lady who has waited. We're going to let her make her comment, please. Okay, we have one board member who's going to make a comment.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tess? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eric Sider, and I want to make sure everybody understands that I speak for myself and not for the members of the board or the administration. But I would like to also take this opportunity to thank our legislators who came here tonight and sat and listened to our community's comments. But I cannot let Mr. Parkinson talk about not knowing about this bill coming down. Let me explain to you. Speaker of the House Tim Jones has an education reform issue. Let me explain to you what education reform means. That means school vouchers and school choice. You're experiencing school choice tonight. Our legislators have had ample opportunity over the last 5 years to add the language back into the law that would have stopped the transfers. So while we're talking about vouchers and school choice. Let's talk about why we are facing this. Because I saw a movie once that said, follow the money. Okay? The money is in the lobbyists who contribute to their contributions. The lobbyist is from the American Legislative Exchange Council, who writes our laws. It is no mistake and no coincidence that education reform is a nationwide issue. And if you look at the laws that are being passed in every state, they're identical with the exception of the name of the state and the name of the sponsors. Okay? So you have the ability to vote every one of the board members out, okay? And you have the ability to vote every legislator out. I encourage you to take that opportunity and do what you feel is right. But understand, in no uncertain terms, that this lawsuit's been going on since 2007, and 2011 and 2012, bills could not get a hearing on this issue, which means the Speaker of the House and the leaders of the House did not want it to happen. Thank you for your time.
Okay, one more comment.
Hi. My name is Sue Easley. I've had kids in this school district for 20 years now. My last student to leave the school will be a senior this year. I want to know, how is this going to affect the classes that she had to try out for?
She will get them.
Okay, is the class going to be made larger to accommodate the Normandy kids?
No, it is not.
Is that fair to the Normandy children?
We are taking those students as we have space available.
Again, is that fair to the Normandy kids if they want to take a choir class?
We have other electives for students to take. They'll be able to take their required classes.
Okay, and the AP classes that she's been in? Will the kids from Normandy be given special allotment because they've been doing homework already?
They will be able to get into the AP classes. I don't know what their exact requirements are for them to get into it. We'll have to look at each one of those students individually. I don't know what the requirements are that they have to have. Right. They will only be in the AP classes if they meet the requirements.
I understand that. My question is...
Are you talking about the summer work?
Yeah. But
yes.
Is that going to be something just flushed down the toilet?
I don't have the answer to that.
What is our policy for this? What's the policy if a student from Michigan comes in and wants to take the AP class? I mean, what do we do with those kids?
I believe that...
Correct. Go ahead. Correct. And I apologize. I'm not sure I was able to hear everything that you asked. But to your point, if we get an enrollee who moves into our school district, we don't always have a spot for every elective that they might want to take. So sometimes a student might want to take ceramics class, an art class, whatever, and that class might already be maxed out, and they have to make a second choice. So I don't think it would be any different with the Normandy students. If there's space available, they can take those classes.
Okay, but with an AP placement class, that's their core classes?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, for example, AP English, you have to do homework over the summer. Are the kids allowed from Normandy to make up the class or make up that assignment? Or will it be negated for all the kids? What is our policy on that? How's it going to affect our students that have put in the time and the work?
Right. It's a good question. And, you know, as we've said, you know, tonight, we've known about this a very short amount of time.
Oh, I understand.
So we don't have all of the details worked out. I think our intention would be if a Normandy student was in an AP class in Normandy, mm-hmm. then they would be afforded that same opportunity here.
Okay. Guess I must not be asking the question right, but I appreciate your time. And I just want you to know that my daughter is a senior, says, so what? It'll be another click at school.
Thank you. We will First of all, thank you all for coming. Thank you for caring about our schools. I know we are in a mess of a problem here. We're going to dust ourselves off, pick ourselves up, and do the best that we can to have a great school year for our kids.